Today's episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox delivers tasty snacks made with simple ingredients right to your door, so you always have something better to snack on without feeling guilty. If you want to make healthier choices and not be tempted by chips and cookies and junk, what do? You avoid the guilt with better snacks. They've got over 100 delicious snacks to choose from healthy to indulgent, all with no artificial colors, because the millennials hate artificial colors and great flavors and sweeteners that the Gen Xers love too. My favorites include pistachio power clusters and the coconut cashews. Coconut cashews are so good that it's even better than a hidden immunity idol in the coconut. A cashew, that is even more fantastic. Two of my favorites from NatureBox. Here's how it works. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. Pick out your snacks and enjoy. Plus, if you ever try a snack you don't like, NatureBox is going to replace that for free. So right now, NatureBox is offering you two free snacks when you go to naturebox.com/RHAP. Avoid the guilt. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP and get two delicious snacks for free. This offer will not last, so get your snacks today. That's naturebox.com/RHAP for two free snacks today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who, after last week's podcast with Michelle, was salty and vinegary, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, here to talk about the voicemails from episode number 2 of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. Very excited to have Darnell Hamilton here with us from Survivor Co-Wrong on the podcast. Been looking forward to talking with Darnell, and that is what we will have here to answer your voicemails, which come in every single week after the episode. robs.website.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Had a nice exit interview with Mari Takahashi today. That is up for you guys on the website. Plus, had PG Law here in the studio for you guys to listen to and view. We moved a lot of things around here in the studio to be able to shoot video better when I have a guest in the studio. So if you want to check that out, that's up on robhasawebsite.com and also on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Never miss a podcast when you're subscribed to the show. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. And we do especially appreciate your feedback and star ratings here at the start of the new Survivor season. All right, everybody. I am very excited to bring in our voicemail guest today. It was a matter of destiny from the time that we first met him in Survivor Co-Wrong to the time that he made it here to the podcast to talk about an episode with us. Please welcome His Royal Highness King Darnell. King, how are you?
How are you, Rob? How's everything doing?
Everything is going very good. A very big day over at my house, Darnell, that we are celebrating my son's birthday today. So very, very festive occasion. And it is great to have you here on the voicemails.
Oh, thank you very much. And I hope you enjoyed everything, you know, with the kids. You know, I don't have any, but yeah. Hopefully everything went fine.
Yeah, everything went fine. It was just a matter of, it was too much. It was too many things for him. And it was really just a matter of that we gave him too many things. And then he was like, all right, I'm ready for the next surprise. I'm ready for the next present. It's like, he got spoiled.
That's the new generation.
Yeah, making these millennials look like they're like hardworking millennials. Yeah. Anyway, I don't even know what generation he is, but the one where they get a lot of stuff and then they want more stuff. But anyway, Darnell, how's everything going for you?
Everything's been fine. You know, I enjoy, you know, when you came up here for the RobCon, your fans are amazing. I actually stayed after and talked to a couple.
Yeah.
You know, and everything's been good. You know, I love your fans. It was really good. Good turnout. You know, it felt like being back out there in L.A. So it was a great turnout. I loved it. And lately, I've just been enjoying my life. You know, Survivor's been my life for 2 years. And I just wanted to enjoy doing me, being me again.
Yes.
You know, I got to see my brother. Haven't seen him in 4 years. And just I just been enjoying myself.
Oh, that's great. So what kind of stuff have you been doing? Like, what's Darnell enjoying being Darnell?
Well, Darnell's been enjoying this debate that's on TV right now.
I saw you were tweeting. I saw you were tweeting quite a bit about the debate the other night. I took a look at your Twitter the other day.
It was so funny. I just couldn't believe the stuff was just coming out there. I mean, Donald Trump. I mean, he's amazing to watch.
Darnell, that's a whole nother podcast.
It's a whole nother podcast. Yes, it's a whole nother podcast. You can hear Darnell's political views.
Yes. You had some good tweets the other night, I will say. So anyway, let's talk about the millennials and the Generation Xers from this season. Darnell, how are you enjoying this first new season after you played?
I'm just to be honest, I really wasn't a big fan of the premiere. I mean, it started off real slow, but of course, you know, when you had the elements and the weather and stuff like that. But I love the second episode. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
It's some players that I love and this song, and I'm just like, I don't know about him.
Yeah. Anybody in particular?
I went on the social media was talking about Jessica Eyes. Like, what happened in episode 2 with Jessica? We didn't get a follow up on her. She's doing okay. I didn't see her eyes. I called her Cyclops off of X-Men. Like, what's going on with those eyes, sir?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what happened.
She's okay.
Yeah, they
didn't follow up on it.
Yeah, there was no follow up, and apparently the sand was blowing around so hard that she got some sort of infection. But I don't understand exactly how. I mean, I'm not a doctor or anything like that. I mean, you're closer to a doctor that you were at least were on a season where the doctor was coming out every 5 seconds, and maybe you absorbed some of that.
Yeah, Dr. Joe. He's everywhere. And then Obama as well. So maybe I need to call Obama and say, what would you say about this? You know, to hear what he has to say. Because I have no clue what's going on.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad that you brought this up because the first question that I have for you has to do with all these things that you're bringing up already. So why don't we start off with a question for you from Danny from the Bay. Has a question about your thoughts on this season.
Okay.
Hi, Rob and Darnell. This is Danny from the Bay Area. This season, there's been some gross things happen already. And since you have King Darnell on today, I think he's the perfect person to ask about this. Since he's on a season with someone with a bug trying to eat someone's brain, and also the whole public defecation incident. So, Darnell, King, what's grosser? Figgy macking with Taylor with no toothpaste or Gen X Jessica's double pink eye. Thanks.
All right.
That's a good one.
All right. So Darnell, what was the worst thing? The pink eye or the making out?
I'm going to go with the making out.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't think the pink eye is that bad. I know that a lot of people, that Josh was in here the other day, he was saying he's very sensitive to these eye issues. I didn't think it was that bad. This is more problematic for me.
Yes, yeah, the kissing is just, you know, it stinks out there, Rob. It's mm-hmm. You know how nasty it gets out there quick. And you know, you're kissing out there. I was just 100% for Michaela, man. Michaela put it on blast. Like, you stink, everything stinks. It's just nasty. Have you been around with somebody who breath just stinks? It just makes you feel nasty. Like, funky breath is like my pet peeve. Like, I couldn't imagine locking lips with somebody after eating whatever you found out there. And now you're locking lips with them, kissing and everything. Just the taste is in your mouth. It's just, it's gross. Just everything's out there is just gross.
Yeah. Let me play you. I have the clip of Michaela talking about what was going on with Figgy and Taylor.
In the middle of the night, I get a kiss sound. And I was like, y'all can't be for real. You stink, your mouth is nasty, you got sand in your drawers, and you kissing somebody. That's disgusting.
Yes, it's very disgusting. Yeah. Thank you, Michaela.
I have two favorite parts. I have two favorite parts of that. Part number one is when she talks about...
That's disgusting.
And also when she says...
This girl is dumb.
I like it. This is disgusting. You could just hear just how disgusted she's about. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, she's really upset. By the way, Michaela is so great. She's really fantastic. She didn't really say anything in the first episode. The only thing she said in the first episode was that she talked about that Will is getting a GED. That's the only thing she said.
But you know what? We also had Storm, and she was quiet as well. Yes. Until the Storm got the brewing. Yeah. So just wait. Michaela's going to give us a lot.
She's so good. She's so good. I'm so excited about this season based on that. Like, oh, I didn't even know we had this person on the roster here. And I'm so excited about Michaela. Now, that she mentioned one part I want to key in on here.
In the middle of the night, I hear a kiss sound. And I was like, y'all can't be for real. You stink. Your mouth is nasty. You got sand in your drawers.
Now, you have sand in your drawers. That's a big problem? Sand in your drawers? Yes,
it's very nasty. Well, I mean, think about it. When you're out there, you're not really cleaning yourself. Like, you go to the bathroom, you're not cleaning. Well, you know I know about it.
You know.
So the sand is just sitting there, just in between the cheeks and everything. I mean, it's gross. That's a nasty feeling to have sand in between the cheeks. It's absolutely gross. So, yes, it's real nasty.
Just sand in your drawers. That's
sand in your drawers.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it, and that they weren't even, like, going away from everybody. Like, when I was talking about this with PG today, but when I played with Rob and Amber, you know, they were, like, going and, like, but they'd, like, go off in the woods and kiss. Or even, like, Ozzy and Amanda, it was the thing where I think that they had, like, they went off and went someone else. That's ballsy, like, if you just had a roommate and you were hooking up with somebody. I mean, you have 9 roommates who are strangers who you met 5 days ago.
Absolutely. I mean, from what I've seen, it looked like they was trying to, you know, you seen Figgy looking like, is anyone looking? You know, but Michaela was looking over there. She was the only one who seen it. So I guess they weren't aware that she was in the area. So, but it was still dumb to me. Yeah. You know?
This girl is dumb.
Or the gym. You're so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that she's borrowing from Jeremy.
These guys are feeling dumb.
And another good line that Michaela had was that we heard at Tribal Council. This was her nickname for Figgy.
Miss Cuddle Shack.
Miss Cuddle Shack.
Miss Cuddle Shack. Oh. Oh. The opposite of Tony Spy Shack. Miss Cuddle Shack, huh?
Yeah. By the way, so sticking with this romance story that we had, Taylor talked about how he had a thing for Figgy. He didn't want to get into a showmance when he got out here, but then he saw her and he got the
love goggles.
The love goggles.
Oh Lord.
Darnell, I've been waiting all week to ask you, how careful do you have to be about losing the love goggles?
Oh, man, Rob. When I seen that, I was like, I feel like CBS is taking jabs at me. Goggles? Everything? I know that's probably what they were talking about. I watched that challenge. I was nervous for everybody. I was like, oh my God, please not the goggles. Not the goggles. You know, I have nightmares about the goggles.
Love goggles.
Love goggles.
You hate goggles.
I hate goggles. I hate them with a passion. I never want to see a pair of goggles again.
Now, Darnell, the other part of this story is that, of course, that, you know, Figgy and Taylor are off together. But then you have poor Jay, who has nothing else going on, and he feels completely abandoned. Darnell, let me play you. He seemed very upset about this, and it sounds as though that maybe this has happened to him before. This was Jay talking about Taylor and Figgy leaving him.
Sometimes women blind you, and then you end up stuck with a woman, and you're bailing on your boys when it's bowling night, and you're stuck at home with your girlfriend. You're a dork. Like, wake up.
Someone's mad.
Yeah, right?
He's real mad.
Did somebody screw him over on bowling night at some point?
I guess his best friend said, hey, I got the girls. I'm sorry.
Like, sorry.
I gotta go out. I'm sorry. Maybe, can I take a IOU, you know?
On
maybe
bowling
go
night.
Next week. On bowling night.
Like, that was a very detailed scenario that he came up with.
Yeah, he was very upset. But I thought he had what's the girl, Michelle. I thought him and Michelle had something going on.
The thing about Michelle is that she said in the preseason that she says she's going to flirt with the guys, but the secret is that she has a boyfriend at home. So I don't really know how far he's going to go. He's definitely not going to turn her into a Miss Cuddle Shack.
Miss Cuddle Shack.
Well, I can understand his problem then. He's the third wheel. No one likes to be the third wheel, Rob.
Yeah, nobody likes to be the third wheel. So what do you think, that Figgy and Taylor are going to go the distance, or do you think that they're going to potentially just have a fling and then, you know, not even last the whole time that they're on the show?
Well, honestly, I think one of them is going to get voted out soon. Mm-hmm. I just don't know which one. I probably would go with Taylor. Mm-hmm. But I think they're probably still going to have something together. But I just think that one of them is going to go. It's not going to last that long. I mean, it looks like on the next episode, it's going to be like some type of swap or merge between the two tribes, and it's going to become three. That's what I think, mm-hmm. based on what I've seen in the after. So it depends, because I'm going to tell you right now, Gen X is not going to have that.
No.
They're not going to have that at all. Do you think Paul's going to have that? Having Taylor and Figgy together? No, Paul's not going to have that.
Oh, I thought you meant a showmance. Yeah.
Showmance? Oh, that'll be interesting with Paul with showmance.
That's disgusting.
Hey, Michaela. Come on.
So we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see what happens with all of that. Now, Darnell, with this Millennials versus Gen X season, have you thought about this at all, going as you're watching this, of what it would be like to be out there with all Millennials?
It would be fun. You know, I don't know if people realize it, but it's so funny because our tribe, the Braun tribe and Karang, was almost like we were separated by age. Mm-hmm. Like it was me, Sid, and Alicia.
You guys were the Millennials.
And we were the Millennials. And it was so funny because I wish, you know, they would have showed this, but I actually was talking about the stuff. Like, it was a time where we was all sitting in the water and Jason and Scott was making fun of me because I was young. Like, they was asking me about Gilligan's Island and Lassie. I'm like, I don't watch this stuff. What is that?
Yeah.
Like, can you name one person? I said, my Shaft is Samuel L. Jackson. That's the Shaft that I know. my James Bond was Pierce Brosnan. You know?
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it was
not even Daniel Craig.
Different thing. Daniel Craig too. I love Daniel Craig. He's one of my favorites right now. But still, like, you know, it was a big difference in age, and you can tell. And that plays out. It's going to be very interesting. I'm very excited for episode 3, because I think they're going to combine, and then you're really going to see Millennials versus Gen X. You're going to see that.
You know, though, in fairness, Darnell, that Kyle Jason, he's somebody that I think it's almost like impossible to guess what his age is. He's only 31. He would have been a millennial on this season.
No, Jason is a different 31. He's an old 31. Okay,
it's not the years.
He does
the
not
mileage.
Claim millennial.
Yeah,
I think I think he said on his Twitter, like, no, millennials, no, not at all.
Yeah.
So see Jason on millennials. Oh my god.
Yeah, and Jenny, how old is she?
Jenny.
Are you allowed to? I feel like it's Survivor and their ages are out there. I feel like that's okay. Am I allowed to ask how old a woman is?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure. Jason, I mean, Jenny.
Okay.
Jenny, maybe
put it out there.
40,
so, yeah, so she's 39. So she would be she'd be a Gen Xer. Gen X Jenny.
Yeah. Yeah, Gen X Jen. That's the Gen X. The Gen X that they're missing.
Okay. All right, let's get into a little bit with this vote from last night. And a lot of people are second-guessing how the vote ended up going down. Let's start with Terry from California. And she wants to second guess how the vote ultimately went for Michelle.
Hi, I'm Terry from Salinas, California. And last night, Millennial Meech seemingly had a good move when she saved Figgy. But should she have really saved her? Michelle is not a part of the Triforce, so she's still the odd man out. Should she have voted Figgy out and then taken her spot in the Triforce? Is this a big oversight on Millennial Meech's part? Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Now, last week, I was talking to your friend Michelle Fitzgerald on the podcast, and I called her Millennial Meech, but now I the other Millennial Meech, 2L Michelle, here she is. Now, she played, I thought she did a really good job in this episode, but do you think there's anything to this, this idea of that, hey, she should have let Figgy go so she could have been the third part of the Triforce?
I love what Michelle did.
Yes.
I mean, I think, without a doubt, I think that she did the good thing. Because like you said, like Boston Rob, I know Boston Rob comes on here, he says, like, you don't really know what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that her name was getting thrown around as well. And plus, as long as Figgy is there and that couple is there, they're going to target them, not her. So I like what she did.
Yeah, it's really hard to second guess anything that Michelle did in that episode. I mean, that she ended up being the person who she saved the numbers in her alliance, and nobody really came away from that really being mad at her. Now, maybe Zeke and Adam are going to be pissed off at her, but I feel like that they're going to be more pissed off with the people that flipped more so than Michelle.
Yeah, I think she's going to be, they're going to be really upset at Hannah. Hannah is most definitely has a target on her back. And because Will is young, you know, Will is my winner pick, by the way.
Oh,
he's my winner pick. I just don't see anybody coming for Will. Like they, when he said he was 18, I was like, everyone's going to look at him as being naive and dumb.
Well, that was one of the questions I had to ask you of who is your gut telling you is going to win? Will, you said.
My gut is telling me Will. I just don't see any reason. The only way the only way that I see Will getting voted off is if, like, it was a showman's or one of these women get to him or something like that. But Will is very smart. He's very intelligent. And a lot of people are going to take him for granted. I can see the Gen X's, like Paul, even getting along with him and trying to bring him in. You know, a lot of people look at him as an extra vote. So, I mean, as long as he don't align himself with the wrong people, I think Will has a very strong chance of winning.
What do you think of somebody like Will compared to Julia, who played last season? Because it does seem as though that these people that they're putting into the game, like they do have a certain maturity level. Otherwise, they wouldn't have even been considered for the show in the first place.
Yes, Julia as well. She's very smart, beautiful, intelligent. A lot of people looked at her like, oh, well, I mean, she said her age, but I mean, she told her that she was older. But Julia, she was on the wrong side, you know, as far as the people way that people wanted to vote. Like she was aligned with Cal, Jason and Scott. Mm-hmm. You know, if she was with the other groups, Julia would have went further.
Yeah.
Nobody would have targeted her. That's a lot of these things. You know, I think back when, you know, someone like Eric, back when he first went out there, I think, was he like the youngest when he was on the Fans versus Favorite? He went very far.
Yeah.
But, hey. Hey, yeah, they made him look like a fool.
Yeah, it could end badly, too, I guess.
It could end very bad.
Okay.
Yeah, it could end very badly.
I have a question for you about Will, since we're on him. And let's second guess what Will did at this vote.
Poor Will.
So, Darnell, I know he's your winner pick, but did you like this move for him to get rid of Mari and to keep in Figgy, who's part of this four-person alliance that he's really not in?
I really didn't get too much of what was going on with those loose six. You know, who was with who? Like, I still don't know who Michaela is aligned with. Mari, you still didn't really know who she was aligned with. It looks like it's Adam and Zeke, they look like they're strong. But as far as everybody else, I don't know. I really don't know where Will falls. I think he's good either way that it falls because, like I said, they're going to look at him as an extra vote. I think that all he needs to do when he comes back is just play dumb like he doesn't know what's going on. Play the Fabio.
Yes.
Be the Fabio.
It'll be interesting, though, to see, you know, when Zeke and Adam get back to camp, and especially there, you know, there may be a swap within the first couple minutes of the episode. We may not really get to see a lot of what the fallout is going to be, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
What do those guys come back, do you think? And do you think that they start just like going nuts, or are they sort of run and hide?
Zeke is going to go nuts.
Yes.
Zeke doesn't look like the one who tends to just shut up. He's going to say how he feels. He's going to go off. I mean, Adam, I don't know. I think Adam's going to let Zeke just put a foot in his mouth. You know, I know that Zeke is not going to like what's going on out there. You know, and I love Zeke. You know, I love watching him, you know, but I hope that it really is a swap, because it's not looking good for him if he goes and do what I think he's going to do. I'm almost sure. My gut tells me that Zeke is going to go nuts at camp.
Yeah. So what's nuts? I mean, you think he's just going to start calling people out? And is that a good move?
Yeah, he's going to call people. He's going to call people out. He's going to try to find out what happened. I'm pretty sure he's going to talk to Hannah. I think Hannah's going to get a lot of the blame.
Okay, well, then you brought up Hannah, and let's just get the second guess on Hannah. What should she have done? This is from Lawson.
Hey, Robin Darnell. This is Lawson. I'm wondering what you think Hannah should have done at Tribal Council. Do you think she should have trusted her gut?
Lots of gut questions for you, Darnell.
I know.
And right now, my gut tells me, go use the bathroom.
That's a great clip.
Look, my gut wasn't wrong. Joe should have trusted his gut.
Yeah, if Joe would have trusted his gut, he'd be a millionaire right now.
He'll be a millionaire if he trusted his gut.
All right, let's talk about the Hannah thing, because even if she made the right decision, I still think that she handled it really poorly in terms of, look, I know that's a stressful thing, but it's the kind of thing you like flip a coin at that point. I think you're better off making the wrong decision fast than making the right decision and taking as long of the time, all the time that she took off the clock.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Like, I wonder. It's funny because Jeff was looking like, is she okay? Like, am I going to have to bring Dr. Joe in here?
Yeah.
Like, he looked concerned. Like, she was really in there for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is the reason why I know Zeke is going to go nuts, because, I mean, you drew attention to yourself. Like, what was you pondering? What was really going on? And I know that's going to cause a problem. So, Hannah, I'm not, I feel for you. I hope you made the right decision.
It goes back to, like, in your season when Aubrey had the vote against Julia, or that she started off, it was Peter, and then, or it was Julia, and she crossed it out and then wrote Peter's name down. She even tweeted, you can always cross it out and start again, Hannah. But but she got a lot of grief for that. And there were people like that it caused like a whole feud with her and Julia that lasted for the entire time that Julia was in the game, right? Even though she voted with her at that vote.
And Scott as well. You know, it was just like, what took you so long? I mean, at least Hannah could say, if she went in there and wrote the name right down right away, she could have been like, well, this is what they told me. I didn't know. You know, you could play stupid, you know, play dumb. But you sat there and drew a lot of attention to yourself. It's not a good look at all.
Right. That's like when my wife starts asking me questions. I just answer them as fast as possible with the answer I think she wants. I think that's better than to stop and really think about it.
For real. Like, what are you thinking about, Rob? Like, come on now.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like this? Yes. Yeah, this looks good.
Yes.
How is this? This is the best.
You got to at least let her finish the sentence.
No.
A short pause.
I just
3 seconds.
I just guess. And then if I guess wrong, I just think like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand what you said. But if you take too long, that's bad. That's always a disaster. Always a disaster. All right, let's switch. Did you have anything else you want to say on this?
Yeah, I said, or she can be like, have a mental giant mistake. You know, forgot to take the top off the pen.
Yeah. How is Alicia? Do you still talk to her?
Yes, I talk to Alicia. I talk to her all the time. She's doing well. She's doing a lot of traveling and enjoying life. You know, Alicia is a very interesting person. I have to check up on her. Yes.
Does she still follow Survivor? Is she watching the new season?
I doubt it.
Probably not. Okay.
Probably not.
All right.
If Alicia's not on there, Alicia's like, hey, whatever.
Whatever, right. So let's switch gears and talk back to the Gen Xers. And we got a couple of questions about David Wright, not the baseball player, the survivor. Do you have any feelings about David and watching him for 2 episodes?
David, I love how he's playing. I mean, he reminds me of, I think, David, at first, I'm going to tell you, that first episode was horrible for him. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think David is a genuinely nice guy. But he's going to piss a lot of people off this season. Okay. Like, I can just see him blowing. He's going to be blowing up a lot of people's plans, man. I see it happening, you know, because they're underestimating him. And that's going to be the downfall of a lot of them.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. That's always fun to have somebody around there. I mean, you think that he could be on like a Cochrane South Pacific trajectory that they count on, like, okay, I guess he's a good guy. I guess we can count on him. And then once they trust him, that's when he'll screw up the plans.
But it will be their fault though, Rob. They're not bringing them in. They're not really, you know, making them feel comfortable. You know what you have. I mean, that first vote off taking Rachel, at least I believe strongly, I'd rather go with the evil that I know versus the evil that I don't know. Like, you know what Rachel's doing. You know who she's aligned with. David, he's all over the place. You know, you don't know what he's going to do. He's very dangerous. And if he makes it far in this game, he's going to blow somebody's plans up. Trust me.
When you say you'd rather go with, you're saying that you'd rather keep Rachel around as opposed to you'd rather go with the plan to vote her off. So you keep her in the game.
No. Yeah, but keep her in the game.
Keep her in the game. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense, too. I think I said that. And again, as a TV viewer, I'm very happy that they keep David in the game. But I think it's hard to really get a good feel on that he's going to stick with these people. You know, he's so skittish in the game that anything could spook him to go in a different direction.
Exactly. That paranoia out there, that's all it takes. They're coming for you, David. He's going to go nuts. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, the person I'm surprised about the season most is Ken. Like, Ken is the complete opposite of what I thought. He's a very humble person. I thought he was going to come out there and just rub people the wrong way. And actually, that's Paul. What I thought of Ken is what Paul is coming out to be. And I really like what I'm seeing from Ken. He's one of my favorites thus far in the season.
Darnell, while we're here and while we're talking about Rachel real quick, let me just ask you a question that we got from one of our listeners, Jim Rosario. And Rachel wasn't happy. I'm not sure if you listened to the interview I did with her last week.
But yeah, it was real sad.
Yeah, she was not. She was really upset about coming on to do the interview. And obviously, this is something that you went through with last season. And Jim wants to know that Rachel wasn't happy with the cast assessments that she received. But you, on the other hand, were many people's winner pick. Did that help soften the sting of being the first person voted out? And did that influence your attitude when you ended up doing all of the interviews? Because for you, I mean, that in the pregame, it was a lot of people were picking you to be the winner. I think we picked that you were going to do really well in the game. And then ultimately, that's not what happened. But I do feel like then it's sort of, at least in our minds, I'm not sure how it was for you, but it's sort of like, boy, this is a really fluke thing that happened. We did not foresee this happening. Whereas with Rachel, to hear, oh, she's probably going to do really bad. And then to know that she did do not great in the game, that's probably a harder thing to sort of wrap your head around.
Yeah. The fans really made me feel a lot better. I mean, I was very upset. I mean, unlike, you know, Rachel or whatever, I had like got a lot of support as far as like, the fans and pre-games, you know, they were saying things about me, you know, but ultimately, I mean, I've reached out to Rachel. I've talked to her to you know, see how she's doing, because she seems like she's handling very well, you know. It's the most important part about healing is, you know, the support. You need the support. You know, you're going out there and you want to win a game, but unfortunately, someone has to be first. You know, that's just the way that the game goes. And I mean, it was just, you know, it was a very, very dark time. Like, it was very disappointing for me. You know, people don't understand how upset I was, like, just knowing. And then we had to wait a long time. You know, we had to wait a super long time. You have your families and your friends just, you know, wanting you to do good. And then people smile like, you're going to win. And to know that you didn't, that's the hard part about it. You know, you feel like you let a lot of people down. Even when I talk to people now, they was like, man, I felt like I let them down. But every time when I talk to, you know, the fans, especially when we was at the rap con and everything, they were really supportive. Like, they was like, hey, we love you. It was nothing you can do. They robbed you, you know, and it made me feel good.
Yeah.
So the fans will make the healing process speed up.
Yeah. To have it the other way around, though, it must be very difficult to have it where people are not predicting big things. And then to know that that was the case, that's probably even more difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I heard the interview that you gave. It was sad. Like, I just I mean, it made me just go back. You know, I heard she was talking about her father and everything. I mean, that has to be tough, you know, but she's a strong girl. She seemed like she's happy, you know, and I wish her the best.
Well, I hope that, you know, that it ended up being a positive thing. And I really did feel badly after that, that, you know, and it wasn't just the show that we did with Corinne. I think it was also that Nicole and I had picked her to, you said, okay, this is somebody who definitely could be the first boot. But
yeah,
it's definitely the kind of thing that, you know, we have to, you know, predict what's going to happen in the season to do these shows. So you never know. But I'm sure it really is a good feeling then, the people that we pick are going to be, oh, this will be the first person out, and then they go far in the game and they're like, see, you idiots, you think you know everything.
Yeah, I mean, Mari was a lot of people wanted to pick, and now they're just like, oh my god, like, you know, it's just,
yeah,
it is what it is, you know.
Yeah,
but
it's crazy. All right, so let's get back into talking about David. And here's a voicemail from Evan, who wants to know about David and his idol.
Hey, Rob, this is Evan from Sacramento. I was wondering how you see David and his idol ending. Is he going to play it very well to get himself out of a jam? Is he going to play it very poorly and get himself voted out for that? Or is he going to play it very poorly, but use it to save himself and essentially have torpedoed Ken's game? Like, know what you think.
All right. Do you think this is a happy ending for David and his idol?
Oh, man. I honestly don't think that it's going to end too well.
What do you think he's going to do?
I think he's going to go home with it in his pocket. Or if he does, he's going to misplay it. Mm-hmm. I can honestly, I think the Ken, I can't see him playing it for Ken.
Yeah.
I just don't see him doing it. I mean, David, I love David on this show. It's just interesting. He's great. But I think it's going to be a disaster.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I was going to say, holy crap. That's going to be the hashtag.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with somebody like David, who is always afraid to sit there and, you know, not play the idol when you're at a tribal council, you have to really have, you know, the nerve to be able to do that. And I always say that I feel like that I would end up playing the idol probably way too fast, because I'd say, like, boy, I'd hate to get voted out. I'd be more afraid of getting voted out with it in my pocket than wasting it. And I feel like that, if anything, David might play it sooner than he needs to.
Yes, and that's also, I mean, they play with his paranoia. I honestly think that somewhere, somehow, I mean, I can see where Ken is telling him, like, you don't have to play it. They end up taking him out. I mean, something like that. I mean, if honestly, you have to look at, well, is Ken willing to save David over himself, mm-hmm. knowing that he has that idol? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think Ken would be like, bye, David.
Yeah.
And that idol will be gone. I can't see him saving David over himself. I just don't see it. And I think that may will be a happen.
Darnell, what was the more unlikely bromance, David and Ken or Ty and Beast Mode Cowboy?
I'm going to go with my boy Beast Mode and Ty.
That was more unlikely?
That's the most unlikely. I didn't see that coming. I don't think anyone's seen that coming.
Did you see it coming when Sia was at the finale?
Oh, no. Nobody's seen that one coming.
Yeah. We haven't seen anybody with the chickens just yet in terms of like taking them in as a pet. Do you think that people are going to try to recreate that this season?
I doubt it. I mean,
you get money.
Well, I don't think they're thinking about that. I mean, when you're out there, you think about $1 million. That's what you're thinking about.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think they actually filmed this during the airing of your season, if I remember that correctly. So they had no idea that they were going to, that Sia would give them money if they saved the chickens.
Yeah. And then I don't think, was Mark the chicken, I don't even think they know the fate of Mark the chicken.
They don't even know. All right. Let's talk about another subject that the voicemail callers it was really something that they wanted to talk about. I got a lot of different voicemails about one subject, and I want to get your take on this, Darnell. Let's start with Matt Wojcis.
Gentlemen, Rob is a planet. A purple alert has been issued for one Lucy Wang, age 42, last seen on the island of Fiji. If any of you know her whereabouts in the country of Fiji or on your television set, email survivor@robisawebsite.com or tweet somebody involved with Rob as a podcast.
All right.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Darnell, we have a purple alert.
Who? Rob, who's losing?
Hold on. Purple alert.
We gotta miss a person.
Yes. Yes, purple alert. Boy, I mean, it's been two episodes, Darnell, and the listener, it's not just the voicemailers. I've seen it on Reddit all over the place. People are very quick to be pointing out a lack of screen time for Lucy.
Yeah, it's really, I do not know who Lucy is. I tweeted about it. Who is Lucy? Like, does she talk? Is she a ghost? Who is Lucy? You know, I don't know. The hurricane got more airtime than Lucy. I don't even know who she is.
Yeah.
This is not good.
Here's Jonathan from Orlando.
Hey, Robin Darnell. This is Jonathan from Orlando. So I have one question. What did Lucy do to Jeff Probst and Mark Burnett to deserve the kind of production edit that she's getting so far through two episodes? First off, her cast photo was like she swallowed some balut. And now, through the first two episodes, she hasn't received a single confessional, and I struggle to even think of a scene where she said a word. Is she officially on the Purple Kelly level? And could we maybe even just change it to the Purple Lucy at this point? Love to know what you guys think. Bye.
Darnell, the purple alert is here.
You know what, Rob? I think that purple will be no more. It's going to be Who Loves Lucy?
Who loves Lucy? No, well, nobody loves Lucy. Does. In the
no one
room.
Loves Lucy.
No love for Lucy. What do you think of Lucy's picture? Don't you think that they could have gotten a better picture of her?
I actually haven't seen it. I have to go look at it because I haven't seen it. I don't even know. Like, people say Lucy and I have to be like, who is Lucy? Because she's the only person, like, I mean, even when you looked at the first tribal council, where was Lucy in the tribal? I didn't even see her.
Did they let her get a vote? Was she there?
Exactly. Was she allowed to vote?
Well, that's a good
move.
What's
going on?
If they just forget about you and you don't have to go to the tribal council, I think that would be good.
Maybe Lucy goes far. We don't know. I think we won't hear from Lucy until she's voted off.
I mean, I think it's a good thing overall for her game. I mean, if you're trying to say, okay, is Lucy out? I feel like if she was going to be voted out of the game like next week, I think they'd start giving us a little bit of more about her story, right?
I don't think it happened for Purple Kelly.
Yeah, you know, there are some people like Monica in Cambodia where she was nowhere, and then all of a sudden she was just like all over her boot episode.
Yeah, all over her boot. I mean, they have to build. Maybe there's nothing there. Like,
yeah,
there's nothing there, and that's bad. I mean, Lucy is
that.
Look, she's pretty ticked off.
You know, I have heard. You know, just like you know that the answer sometimes to that question of, hey, how come you didn't show anything from this person? And sometimes the answer is not all the time, but sometimes the answer is because they didn't give us anything. If we had something to show you, we would show it to you. It's not like we don't leave gold on the cutting room floor. If we had something, we'd give it to you.
Exactly. Like didn't almost everyone get at least one confessional during the premiere?
You would think so. I don't know. I didn't chart it. I have to go and check the edgic charts, Darnell.
I think everyone, I've heard from everyone but Lucy. That's why I'm like, who is she? Like, they show nothing of her.
Okay.
I mean, nothing.
All right. This is a question from Ryan.
Hey, Rob. This is Ryan from Illinois. It looks like we found our purple castaway this season, and that would be Lucy. My very important question for you is, which total will be higher? Will the Mets win more postseason games, or will Lucy have more confessionals throughout the remainder of the season? Love to hear your answer. Thanks.
Darnell. All right, this is a trick. This is a trap for me. Because my Mets are heading into, we're recording this Wednesday night, and they're off on Thursday, so they can't. Or I'm sorry, today was Thursday. I'm sorry. They were off today. They go into this weekend. They only have three games left for the whole season, and I think they have a one game lead on the wild card over the Giants and the Cardinals. So this is a trick now for me to get me to jinx my Mets. This is a trap. It's a trap, Darnell.
Well, I'll put it like this.
Yes.
I think we'll go past the baseball because we know it's a sensitive subject for you.
Yes.
I'll say that the Chicago Bears will win more games. The Chicago Bears will win more games than Lucy get confessionals.
Okay. Have they won a game yet, the Bears?
No, they're 0-3.
0-3, okay. That's a good bet of Lucy confessionals or Bears wins, because you probably think the Bears are going to get to 5 wins, 6 wins?
It's not looking. Jay Cutler's on the roster, not looking too well.
Yeah, boy.
But looking like maybe two.
Two or three. That would be good.
It's not looking too well.
So I will,
because we lost to Philly.
Yeah. Hey, Philadelphia is really good now.
They are. Wentz is a monster. Cleveland is somewhere with the brown bags on their head right now.
Yeah, that we don't need to talk about that. That's not good. But anyway, so I will take the number of. I will say that there will be more Lucy confessionals in this season than Mets postseason wins.
Ooh.
Okay. How about that?
Interesting. About okay. That? We'll see.
They call that the reverse jinx, Darnell.
We'll see. Well, hey, it must be the zero.
It could be a tie.
It could be a tie, yeah.
Okay. All right. Does the wild card game count as a playoff win? Does that count?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Here's a question from Ari. He wants to know if people might be anti-gamer on Survivor.
Oh.
Hey, Robin Arnell. It's Ari Kohav. I do believe Mari was targeted for being a gamer, but in a more unacceptable way. I've seen in the past few years a lot of hate towards gamers throughout millennials. That's the main thing I've noticed from Kenny haters. I think it's stupid. But anyway, what's your take on that?
Okay. Darnell, do you feel like, are the millennials, were they anti-gamer?
I don't think so. I just think that Mari was just one that they felt like they could convince everyone to vote off. I mean, that's an easy target when you can say, well, she has all these followers and all of it. That's an easy vote to try to convince the tribe to vote. But I don't think it has to do with anything about gamers. I mean, if you think about it, what does that have to do? I mean, she's playing a video game. What does that have to do with this Survivor? You know, what does that have to do with anything?
Some people people play video games.
Yeah, I mean, what does Call of Duty have to do with Survivor? What does NBA 2K have to do with Survivor? I don't understand. Like,
now, do you play a lot of video games?
Yes, I play my video games. Okay. I have an Xbox and a PlayStation. So
yes, a Gen Xbox.
I play a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, Gen X, yes.
All right. So, and do you feel like have any survivors, talk differently to you when they found out that you were a video gamer?
I don't think they know, but they know now.
Now they know.
Now they know.
Yes.
You know, so if anybody want to get whooped, we can play. I'm all for it.
Yeah. I don't know if necessarily that there was anybody who was anti-video game.
Yeah, I don't think that has to do with anything. I don't think. Now, Paul maybe in the drone.
Yeah, he likes he hates drones.
He hates drones. You know,
walk to the store and get milk. Right, it come in a drone.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand. A drone, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Darnell, is it true that you have been working on some top secret stuff with the Postal Service of mail drones?
No, I haven't. I don't know what you're talking about, Rob. That would be a government classified information.
Classified information?
Classified information. Yeah. If I work.
Because these millennials, that they just want to get their mail from a drone.
It come in a drone.
Yeah.
It didn't come in the drum. It just didn't come out the sty and it shoots into your grass and you get it and you drink it.
All right. Now, this is very similar to the last bet that you wanted to make about the Bears. But Ron from Toronto has another Chicago question for you.
Hi, Robin King Darnell. It's Ron from Toronto. What has a better chance of happening? one of the members of the Triforce winning this season or the Bulls winning the title this season. All right, take care.
Okay. All right. So the Triforce, we have that is Figgy, Taylor, and Jay. Are you counting Michelle as part of the Triforce?
How is that the Triforce?
That's the thing.
Someone's out.
Somebody's out.
Yeah, someone's out. It will be a Triforce soon. So. Mm-hmm.
See, if you were counting her, I feel like that the odds are a lot better. I think she's the only one out of this group that could potentially win this game. I'll leave it up to
know.
You.
Jay impressed me. I like the way how he managed I liked him and Michelle, how they managed the different personalities. They came at Michaela a certain way. They came at Will another way. I was impressed with Jay, but I would agree. I think Michelle has the best chance of winning. But if I would say the Triforce, I would go with the original, which would be Jay, Figgy, and Taylor. And I think that Jay has the better chance of winning out of those three.
All right. But what about the question? Who has a better shot? The Bulls or Jay from the Triforce?
Oh, I'm going to stick with my Bulls. Have a better chance of winning than Jay.
Yeah. Okay.
Even despite Golden State super team.
Yeah. Here's a question. Speaking of Jay, this is a question that we got for you from Paul Borges. And he wants to know, did you have any interactions with Jay? Allegedly, he was one of the people cut last minute from Ko-Rong. Is that true?
Ko-Rong?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can talk about that.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't know if I can talk about that one.
Okay. So, that he may or may not have been in the mix.
Yeah.
And then did not
make it. Yeah.
That's weird. That's weird. I know it happens.
Yes.
I know it happens. Yeah. But so then let me ask you this question then. And then who came in at the last minute then for at Ko-Rong? Is there anybody that was a late addition?
No. It was some girl out there.
Because it's a brains versus brawn versus beauty season, so it's not like you could have 20 people.
Oh yeah, he was out there, but I don't know if I could talk about it.
Okay. Well, that
he most definitely was there.
Okay. Yeah, that well, you don't have to get into the specifics. I'm just trying to figure out. So, what if they didn't use him? Is he an alternate?
Yeah, he was an alternate.
Oh, okay. All right. So he's just on standby. Boy, I didn't even know that. That's just like you're just like the understudy. You just stand there and you just hope that somebody doesn't pass medical.
Yeah, they gotta, you know, they always bring people out there just in case, you know, something happens. And he was out there. He was actually pretty good.
All right,
you know,
so about this? So, okay, so Jay's sitting there, he's the alternate. What if they find out, like, oh, you know what? Joe Del Campo can't pass the physical to start the game. I'm sorry, Joe, you can't play on this season. Jay, you're on the brains tribe.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I wouldn't have, maybe they would shuffle something around. They'd be like, oh, maybe we'll put this person there, you know, but then
sometimes women blind you, and then you end up stuck with a woman, and you're bailing on your boys when it's bowling night, and you're stuck at home with your girlfriend. You're a dork. Like, wake up.
Yeah, wake up. That is weird to have an alternate in the brains versus brawn versus beauty season. I mean, I guess that they could talk you into anybody with this, like, you know, they could find anybody and tell you like, oh, well, this person is brains because they're like, you know, oh, Alicia, she's on the brawn tribe because she doesn't take lip from anybody.
It was on our season. It was a lot of people where you could have put them anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Alicia wanted to be beauty. She wanted to be beauty. She never shied away from it. Day one, she said, I'm beautiful. I don't know why I'm not on that tribe.
Yeah. Christine Radis sends in a question. She wants to know, in a first boot returnee season, how do you think that you would do? Better than Rachel or worse? Now, we did a draft over the summer, Darnell. We did a podcast about drafting the season.
I
let you slide way too far because I worked off of my list from the Evolution of Strategy of all the first boots, and I forgot to update it with you, and you were not on my draft board. That was a major, like, Cleveland Brown style draft mistake. So my apologies on that. But how do you feel like that? Because I feel like that, you know, we're getting it. I mean, we're in the Big Brother OTT world, Darnell. I feel like that no idea for a season of Survivor is off the table at this point. Do you feel like that you would be set up well in a all first boot season?
Yes, I feel like we all have something in common. So
you have something in common, but I feel like that
we all have something in common. And I feel like I wouldn't have the target on my back. If anybody will have a target on their back, I think it would probably be, if it's any returnees.
Yeah.
Does Rupert count?
I don't know. No, he can't play in the first booth. Take all the people like Tina and all these people that have like had success in other seasons and then just happened to get voted out first. Johnny Fairplay. Take them out of the mix where they didn't get included. Only Francesca.
Francesca? Oh, well, yeah. Anytime I play something, I go to win. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can win that. You know, you never know what happened, injury or whatever. But I honestly feel that I can win. I feel like I could have won my season, especially if I would have got past that first vote. Mm-hmm. So I think I would have did well. I mean, first boots. It really sucked if Franny got voted out for the third time first. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that would be if she could get through that first vote, I think that she would go very far. But I think that if she's sitting there and it's the first vote.
I would love to see Franny play again. We don't, you know, we don't know what Franny is capable of. Give Franny a shot.
Give her a shot.
See what she's made of.
Yeah, she's made out of.
Yeah. I would love to go out there and play with Zane.
Mm-hmm. Zane. You think that's somebody you'd like to see out there on the beach?
Yes, I would love to see Zane out there on the beach. See what Zane is capable of.
I just think that first vote would be so crazy where everybody out there is like, you know, I've tried so hard to get, this is my second chance, and I don't care. I will write any name down at this tribal council as long as it's not me. Like, I can't see anybody like sticking their neck out and saying like, hey, we're drawing a line in the sand. It's you know, it's my way or the highway, and if you don't like it, vote me out, but this is what we're doing tonight. Like, everybody's just like, I don't care, whatever, not me.
Not me. As long as it's not me, I don't care. Like, I don't want any parts.
Yeah,
I don't
let me
want
no see goggles. Day four.
Just don't bring no goggles to me. That's all. Don't do that.
Yeah. I think it would be very exciting. I really do think it would be wild. And I think, you know, who knows? Who knows, you know, what they end up doing with these survivors. And like I'm saying with Big Brother, you know, we're having like an off-season Big Brother season with 12 people. You don't know what the future of Survivor holds.
Yeah, you never know. Like I told Rachel, you know, like, you never know, like, but I mean, a lot of people want this season to happen.
Yeah.
And you never know. I mean, they had a fan vote, second chance. They voted who they want to see. You never know. Maybe they say, hey, we got a list of seasons that you all may be interested in. Vote. Let's see what the people want. They want this season to happen. So if it happens, I will be ready. Trust and believe that.
Yeah. Darnell, it's as good as any other season that they're coming up with between people with AT&T, people on Verizon, and people on T-Mobile. I mean, it's all the same. You know, with the why not try this?
Yeah, first boots versus ghosts versus winners.
Sure. That'd be fun. Yeah, a first boot tribe might be interesting. That I think that could be also fun to end up doing where that I think that would, if you had a 6-person tribe of people that got voted at first, I think that would be an interesting wrinkle also.
Yeah, you get to see these people, or I don't know, how would you feel if they upped the number for a season, like, you know,
well,
instead of
Darnell, do you watch Australian Survivor?
Oh, no, I've heard about it so much.
I think 20's the limit. 20's the limit. 20's a lot.
I don't have
people.
To watch Australian Survivor. I heard about it. Like, don't they go to like tribal like every other day
days.
Or something?
Yeah, it's 55 days and 24.
Oh,
people.
My God. 55 days out there. Man, whoever wins that. Whew.
It's a long journey. One other question before we get to the social media. Jeff Quest has a question for you. He wants to know, what Chicago sports figure would be the best to make the leap to Survivor? Is there anybody that you would say, not Jay Cutler?
He needs to.
Yes.
Redeem himself in something.
No, I think we did a podcast. I did a podcast of the NFL quarterback Survivor, and I can't remember if Jay Cutler was in the mix or not. I want to say that he was, and he was, and nobody liked him.
Hey, Will.
Yes.
Okay. Never know how well he's doing Survivor.
Okay. Derrick Rose is not on the table either. He's no longer a Chicago.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Who can make the leap from Chicago? Is it Kane? Patrick Kane? Is Kane? Does he Kenny count? I will probably, if I had to pick a person, maybe I'll go with a legend. Give me Dennis Rodman.
I thought you were going to go with Jordan. Dennis Rodman.
No, I don't think Michael Jordan.
I mean, Dennis Rodman is a two-time Celebrity Apprentice contestant, and may potentially end up with a cabinet position in President Trump's administration.
Oh,
we don't know.
My
He might be busy to go on Survivor. He's a very close confidant.
Dennis Rodman is good TV, though.
Yeah. He really wasn't on The Apprentice, though, to be fair. He really was kind of just like... Trump loved him on both seasons, and he was, like, very forgiving of Dennis Rodman's screw-ups and never wanted to fire him. But I feel like Dennis Rodman really was just kind of like... And he wasn't really doing anything. But Trump never wanted to fire him.
No, Trump didn't want to fire on the Rodzilla.
Yeah, he loved Dennis Rodman. All right. All right. Darnell, I have a song for you, and I haven't listened to it. Yeah. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Shut up. All right. You tell me. You tell me when to can it.
Okay.
Figgy, 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 can't you see? The Mackin' with Taylor was just crazy. You stink and your breath's nasty, and your drawers are way too sandy. Figgy, 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 can't you see? The Mackin' with Taylor was just crazy. You stink and your breath's nasty, and your drawers are way too sandy.
Oh, you cut it.
All right, cut it. All right, what do you think of the notorious F.I.G.?
So the tip was wild, boy. Yeah.
Figgy rolling in his grave.
Figgy,
tonight.
Figgy, Figgy.
Yeah, yeah, not good.
Poor Figgy. Poor Figgy.
Figgy didn't deserve that.
She's been getting a lot of Figgy hate out there lately. I've been seeing it.
Well, are you standing up for Figgy?
Yeah. I mean, she.
This girl is dumb.
I mean, let's see what Figgy as the player. Let's see what she has. You know, let's give Figgy a chance.
Give Figgy a chance, everybody.
Let's give Figgy a chance.
Take Darnell's advice. Give Figgy a chance. All right. Yeah, let's get into talking about the social media from this week.
Tweets, baby, tweets. Survivor tweets. They're better than having no time to write a new jingle this week. Tweets.
Yes, the great Ryan Elder. He is on the road this week. And so still got us in a song. Great guy. At Ryan Elder Music. All right. So let's jump into talking about some of the Survivor social media. Chris Hammonds at Ham0481 tweeted out, "Great episode. I'm glad they blurred my white butt out. Those briefs about came off. Hashtag white buns." Good news.
That's what Chris said.
Darnell, I have to say that this cast, I feel like, has been a lot less forthcoming with, like, all of, like, hey, here's what really happened and here's what's going to happen.
Yes. It seems like CBS really scared them.
I wonder if they cracked down before this season.
I guess they cracked down after our
good
season.
I like the crackdown. I like the crackdown.
You really don't know. It's no type of spoilers, anything. It's just like, I don't know what's going to happen. So they really cracked down, especially after our season.
It makes it more fun when we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And look, I got a lot of podcasts to fill and a lot of speculating to do. So it really does make my job harder when there's like, well, we all know that what's going to happen is this. So that's good. All right. Stephen Fishback, he tweeted, I guess, before the know-it-alls. Michelle says, vote against your alliance. Hannah says, I need a reason. Michelle says, I can't give you one. Hannah says, good enough for me. That's good.
Exactly, like, I'll tell you later. Like, what does that mean?
Yes.
Like, I'll tell you later. Like, it just sounds like a lie. Like, get out of my face.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Trust me.
Don't worry about it. You're good. Like, you're good. Come on now.
Okay. Randy Bailey, at Randy Bailey 1720, he said,
oh, this should be good.
The only thing missing from the idol David found was a silver platter Russell Hance could not have found it faster. Did you like how they did the idol in the coconut?
No, I wish they would have had it like that for me.
Yeah.
It was sitting in, just sitting there with a marked coconut. Like, come on now. It was just too easy. What happened to the shells Jeff was talking about?
I don't know. Coconut shell.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he's hitting it and crack. I mean, come on. It was obvious. You see a little weird circle on a coconut just sitting there. Like, what happened to the whole? I like the way that they had it. What happened to hiding it in the challenges and stuff like that? Yeah, I love that.
Well, that was good. And even last season, it was, what was it? It was like there was a key that was up a tree, but then you had to get like some. Like, I don't know if we need to change this every season. I don't know if we're getting a lot of mileage out of whatever tweaks we're making to hiding the idol. I think the idol, just put it somewhere and then, you know, let's move on with it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I mean, I'm really interested in this legacy.
Oh, you like the legacy advantage. The legacy. Mentioned this week, so I forgot about it.
It said day 36, right?
Yeah.
That's when you can use it. But if you notice, every time when they say the days, like, the challenge when someone got eliminated, it said day 7. So what's going to go on day 36? This is going from 4 to 7. Like, you know, what's going on with that? Is it an idol? Is it an extra vote? What is it? I really want to see what this legacy, what is it going to be?
On day 36 on Australian Survivor, that's when the merge happens.
Oh, well, I don't know. That's what they, on day 36, oof. Everyone's going to look sick and oof.
Yeah. Let's see. Neil Gottlieb was talking about the love goggles. He says, more like the dehydration goggles.
Love goggles.
Now, what is he saying? Now, one of them is somebody's ugly? Is that what he's saying?
I guess so. You know what, Neil? With Neil, you never know what Neil could be talking about. It could be something that we don't even know. You know, like, what is
he's
he saying?
He's on another level. He's on a whole other level.
That's what makes Neil Neil. That's what makes Neil spectacular.
Yes, he's too smart.
He's too smart.
Yes. Then at Julia Sokolowski, she tweeted out, "You want to snowboard and chill? Oh my God. How about like go to school and travel?" She's not down to snowboard and chill.
Yeah, I'm not down with it either. I'm like, what? What do you say? Like LA? Like they're planning their whole marriage. I mean, what is this? The Bachelor?
Yeah. Darnell, help me out. Snowboard and chill. Is that like literally like because it's snowing, it's cold, you're snowboarding and chilling?
No, it means it's almost the same as Netflix and chill. That's what I picked it up as. But since he loves snowboarding, it's snowboarding and then chill.
And the number one reason I don't want to go snowboarding is because I don't want to chill.
Oh, man, they're going to chill after the snowboard.
Very cold.
They're going to chill.
Yeah, they're already chilling. Yeah.
In the middle of the night, I hear a kiss sound, and I was like, y'all can't be for real. You stink, your mouth is nasty, you got sand in your drawers, and you kissing somebody. That's disgusting.
What's worse, sand in your drawers or snow in your drawers?
Snow in your drawers.
Snow in
without a doubt.
Shrinkage? Yeah.
Shrinkage and oof. Discomfort constantly.
Yes. Okay.
That's disgusting.
T-Bird, she's great because she name checks all of the survivors in her tweets. She's very supportive of all the survivors.
T-Bird is very nice. She's very nice. She reached out to me when I got eliminated.
Yes.
So
she's a very nice lady. And she tweeted out, at Hannah Lil Neeson, acting real confused, at Atomic Mary, thought that she was whispering about puppies. Okay, playing dumb or not, it worked. She's really covering all of her bases on that tweet.
It was good.
It was bad. I don't know. Which is it? Whatever. I'm happy. Good job, everybody. Yeah. She was into it. The opposite of T-Bird, Eliza. She's not bringing everybody up. She tweeted out, Michaela is 100% right. You're so nasty out there. Can't believe people are already making out. Gross.
That's disgusting.
Well, I'll put it like this, Rob. It's better to do it on on day what, seven that they're on? When was it? Day four?
Yeah, it was early. It was still early.
It was early. It's better to do that than do it on day what, 20.
Yeah, I guess.
You know how
so.
Things really start stinking.
Yeah, it could go either way. Like, you reach a point where you sort of like are sort of numb to everything. Also, I think so. I don't know. A couple days in, maybe you're just like, you know, you can still remember what clean is, and then you reach a certain point where then you just don't even know. But
and everything just starts stinking.
All right, Russell Hance. He was worked up during this episode.
Really?
He did not like what was going on. He was incensed about this making out. He said, "You're really gonna start kissing someone after 6 days of being on the island without brushing your teeth, not to mention effing your game?" Not for anything. Not for anything. If one of those girls on that island that when Russell was there would have said, "Hey, Russell, you want to go to the Cuddle Shack?
Miss Cuddle Shack."
Yeah. I don't think he would be like, "I can't F up my game."
When Russell says it like it is, I agree. I'm just like, come on now. Like, this early? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I'd like to see Russell tell somebody no on Survivor.
It would be interesting. It would be very interesting.
He also said, "She's playing the wrong show. This is Survivor, not that bachelor show on an island, whatever the F it's called."
That's what I said. What is this? Bachelor in Paradise? What is this?
I like that he does. He's like, "There's some show. I don't know what the name of it is, but you know what I'm talking about."
Russell throwing the shade.
Yeah. Darnell, I'm very excited to announce that one of the castmates from my season is on Twitter and tweeting about the show. Dina Bennett at Trial Dog, that's Trial DAWG 67, was tweeting about Survivor last night. Huge event. Says, Hannah, you just joined NY Cool Baby and will be the first out. Pawns are expendable. So I tweeted to Dina. I said, "Dina, yeah. I can't believe you're on Twitter." And she says she wants to stick up for this. She doesn't want to hear that the Gen Xers are boring. She's standing up for the Gen Xers.
This is bringing a lot of people into there. They like this concept.
Well, you know who else really stands up for the Gen Xers is Gen X Jerv. Gen X.
What does Jerv have to say?
He doesn't like these millennials, but he also doesn't. He's not crazy about David. That he said figures that weasel Dave would find an idol. Ha 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 ha.
Well, he can't be like that for Dave. I mean, they're causing the paranoia. You know, he had to do what he had to do.
Yeah.
So they got to back off Dave. Dave is a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's just gonna mess somebody's game up.
Jervis doesn't like people if they're not from the East Coast. A lot of times.
Oh well, hey. That's probably the reason why he's not my friend on Twitter right now.
He's not?
No, he's not my friend on
what?
Twitter.
What? He also said, Jervis said, "You better smash it now, Taylor, because you ain't getting the million now." Wow, smash it.
Smash it, pound it, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Then he ended up saying, "I don't know who was more salty, Michaela or my niece Marissa." I hope she's not still salty.
Ooh, that's tough.
Yeah. Okay. Too salty. Too salty.
Yeah, that's too salty.
Yeah. She was pretty salty when she got voted out. To be fair.
Yeah, she should have. That was messed up.
Yeah. All right. Here's somebody, Clarence Black from Survivor Africa, who is not a regular live tweeter, that he was tweeting out the episode. He could not believe it. He says, "Wait, since when does at Jeff Probst come to medical emergencies? What the hell?" That's a bit of a back in my day. We didn't ever see Jeff Probst in a medical emergency.
Well, he's at all of them now. I mean, after Carl Wrong, he said, "Hey, I need to make sure I'm there at all of them."
Yes. Also, Clarence is out on Figgy. He says, "She needs to go because her name is Figgy, and I can't handle hearing Figgy all season long." He doesn't even like her name.
Yeah, Figgy getting Figgy with it.
Yes.
He's not getting Figgy with it.
he's not into the notorious F.I.G.
Yeah. No F.I.G.
No. Also, Eric Reichenbach, that you mentioned earlier, he tweeted, it's like hitting you in the chest with a knife. Eric says, that's called getting stabbed.
Who was he talking about?
I don't know who said that. It's like hitting you in the chest with a knife. I don't know. That sounds like something somebody would say at tribal council.
Ew.
Yes. Very violent. Very violent.
Where did that come from? Are you sure he was watching Survivor?
He might have been watching another show. He might have
American Horror Story or something.
It's possible. All right. And then, of course, we've got one more thing to do here in the Survivor social media.
Tweets, baby, tweets, Rupert. Tweets that are better than something that happened on Survivor. Rupert tweets.
All right. Darnell, are you ready to play a round of Rupert tweets?
Yes. Let's do this.
Okay. Well, Rupert, during the episode last night, then people were mentioning to him, like a lot of times, like Rupert will tweet something and people will write like, oh, Rupert tweet. And like last week.
What's up with Rupert? He didn't have much to say about our season. What's going on with Rupert? Rupert, I feel disrespected. Where were you last season?
Yeah. Sometimes he'd be like, well, you know, no, I didn't watch the show tonight. So, but he seems like he's back for the first two nights of this season. And he did like tweet out stuff and people wrote to him like, oh, that's a Rupert tweet. And he's like, I know, I just said it. And then this week, then people were saying like, oh yeah, that'll be a good one for Rob. And then he was tweeting like, Rob reads the tweets on the podcast. I was like, I wrote back, only because...
Tell him to step his game. What generation is Rupert?
Gen X, I think, if you're being kind, I think.
he's a baby boomer?
I'm not sure. I mean, is he older than Paul on this season? I don't know. That's a good question. Rupert Boneham. Let's see. Is he that old? No, I guess he's 52. So I guess, I think Paul is 53. So I guess, yeah, Gen X. Rupert.
Gen X Rupert. Rupert needs to get to learning how to use the smartphones and iPods and everything.
Yeah.
Rupert is in Indiana. Rupert, hit me up. I'll teach you how to use a smartphone. Millennial.
Yeah, well, that's what I had said was about him, that I have to read your tweets because you don't come on the podcast. And then he said he doesn't know what he's doing with the computer. So that's fine. But maybe. just to go back to, you were talking about the debate at the top of the show that Rupert said, if you don't like Hillary or Trump, take a look at Gary Johnson for president. Yeah.
Now, Rupert is wild.
Well, Rupert, he did run for the governorship of Indiana. I believe he ran for the Libertarian Party. And
wow.
Where everything ties together is that Rupert ran against Mike Pence. Mike Pence beat Rupert to become the governor of Indiana.
Wow.
We were this close to a world where Trump picks Rupert to be vice president.
I know, right? Rupert. That would have been interesting. Survivor history.
We would have been getting ready to watch Rupert in the VP debate this week.
Yeah. How did Rupert win?
Well, I don't know. This is like some alternate reality, like some parallel dimension where he's the governor of Indiana.
That would have been interesting.
Yes.
And I live right next to Indiana. So, you know, I'm like literally like 10 minutes from Indiana.
Yeah. It would have been Rupert versus Tim Kaine this week.
Listen, Tim.
Yeah. All right. But that's not what we're here to do. We're here to do Rupert tweets.
Another podcast.
That's another podcast. All right. Here's Rupert tweets. I'm going to give you three real tweets from Rupert, one fake one. You tell me which was the thing that Rupert did not tweet out this past Wednesday night when he was watching Survivor. Okay. Number one.
Okay.
You're seeing why so many survivors chop their fingers off with machetes. To be fair, I don't think that's ever happened. I don't think we've ever had a survivor chop their finger off with a machete.
Alicia almost did it and she didn't do
it. They almost did it, but nobody, there have been zero survivors that have cut their finger off with a machete to this point. In US
one thing
Survivor,
about the machete is not sharp enough.
Yeah, or Australian Survivor. No, we have lost zero fingers so far. Okay.
That machete is not sharp enough. It's like a butter knife.
Yes. Number two, when I played, the only hooking up I did was with a fishing pole. Okay. Yeah. Number three, you'll never be able to use a flint after banging it like that. LOL.
LOL? Ooh, yeah. Interesting.
Okay. And number four, FYI, there are condoms in the first aid box.
Wow.
All right. So Rupert tweeted three of these things. One of them he did not. Do you need to hear that, any of them again?
No, I made my decision. I'm going to go with the LOL because Rupert is old school, and I don't think he's going to use the LOL.
Okay. So
that's,
you think
a millennial thing.
Well, according to Taylor, it is. So the fake Rupert tweet is, you'll never be able to use a flint after banging it like that, LOL.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
No pumpkin, no.
Oh, I'm sorry, Darnell. He did.
Oh,
he did tweet that. Pole? He did tweet that. Which one?
The fishing pole?
Yeah, that is correct. That he did not. Rupert did not tweet out when I played. I didn't follow my gut. Hooking up I did. Yeah, you always gotta listen to your gut, Darnell.
See, I'm listening to my gut from now on.
Yeah, listen from now on. Yeah, he did not say, when I played, the only hooking up I did was with a fishing pole. He did not say that.
That was my first one.
Yeah. Rupert also says, Laura and I like Ken more and more. So Laura,
I bet you he does.
Yeah. Rupert and Laura are liking Ken. They like Ken doll. They're into it.
Yeah, Ken is good.
He's good. He's good. Yeah.
He's real good.
Okay. All right, Darnell. Great job. Great job on the voicemails and the social media. Very fun getting to talk to you about this episode of Survivor.
Thank you, Rob. You know, anytime. Anytime you need me, I'm available.
All right. Just a couple other quick things, Darnell, that I had. I know we've been talking a lot about Figgy, but I thought that Figgy was a little bit rude about Rachel when Jeff came out and told them who got voted out at tribal council.
Yeah, I did not
Rachel
like that.
Rachel voted out at the first tribal council.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, why did she have to throw in there? Sounds about right.
Yeah, that's I didn't like that.
No
at
need
all.
To throw shade at Rachel.
Yeah, you had to throw shade at Rachel. Why? Like, it easily could have been you. Like, why? You know, she's a nice person. Like, I that's about what?
That's disgusting.
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah. We did not like that.
I didn't like that at all.
Yes.
Like, that's about right. Come on now.
And then also, at the tribal council, we talked about this a lot, but I thought that the clip was worth pulling.
And whatever she's talking about right now, it's probably about puppies or butts or something.
Yeah, puppies or butts or something.
What is that? What type of conversations are they having out there? Puppies and butts?
I don't know. I think that
what butt are they talking about?
That's just what they talk about at the Millennial Tribe.
This is probably a whole bunch of stuff. I don't even want to know what's going on at the Millennial Tribe. I'm pretty sure it's a whole bunch of stuff that they couldn't show on TV that's being said. We have a very...
Well, yeah, especially, you know, all these people that have sand in their drawers. Yeah. No wonder they're talking about butts so much.
You know, we have a very crude sense of humor, so
yeah.
No telling what was said out there.
No telling.
Puppies and butts, they don't mix at all.
All right, Darnell, we need a hashtag. What do you think? Hashtag purple alert.
No, I love Lucy. Purple alert.
All right, purple alert.
Where's Lucy? Purple alert, yes, purple alert.
Yes. And if you want to then add to it, if you want, I love Lucy, if you want to build up the support.
Yeah, I love Lucy. Yeah. Please, let's find Lucy. She's missing. Hopefully we see her. Rob, I'm serious. If we don't see her at the week four, because she's going to be around still.
Yes.
Please be worried.
Yes. Okay.
Please. I'm going to send the purple alert. Myself. Send I'm going to hashtag it purple alert. Send it out. Where's Lucy?
Okay, send it out. All right, of course, you can follow Darnell on Twitter at KingDarnell_32. And will you be live tweeting the rest of the debates this political season?
Yes, I will. Okay. If Trump is there.
Okay. All right.
Because I heard from reading that he may not do anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see. I think as of right now, I think we're scheduled to still have them all. So we'll see if there's any updates. Then Rupert might have to step in. They might have to give Rupert the platform.
Yeah, please. Rupert, save him. Please.
Yeah. Or what about Rupert moderating some of the debates? Would you be okay with that?
Oh, God. No, please, no. Please, no. Rupert, stay right where you are, sir. Yeah.
My next question is about the machetes. How sharp should they be? Some people say machetes are too sharp.
How often you need to tend to the fire?
All right, Darnell. Thanks again so much. Really appreciated talking to you, and all the best, buddy.
No problem, Rob. Anytime.
Okay, thanks. All right, everybody. There you have it. Darnell Hamilton here on the podcast, and very fun chat with Darnell. Really enjoyed getting to talk to him tonight. All right, so that's going to do it here for our Survivor coverage. We're going to be back with The Wiggle Room and with Why Mari Lost with David Bloomberg. Look for that at the start of next week. Plus, we're going to get into our BBOTT coverage coming up here on Friday. And got to watch the first 15 minutes of BBOTT. I'm interested. Looking forward to seeing where it goes. It should be fun. Seems like they definitely have some even crazier people than they normally have on a regular season of Big Brother. So interested to see how that's going to all play out. Plus, over the weekend, we're going to get into the season premiere of SNL, which should be a lot of fun. And we'll also get into the finale of Fear the Walking Dead, which if you've been listening to that podcast, you know, have been a therapeutic session for myself and Alex Kidwell and Josh Wigler. All right. So next week on the podcast, we're going to have my good friend Otis Bushkowskis is going to be joining us here back in the studio. So hopefully we'll have some more video for you guys, just like what we did with PG this week. And then Haley Strong will be on the voicemail. So it should be another fun week talking about Survivor. And again, thanks so much to the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Got a lot of support from the patrons who heard the saga of the underwear controversy that went on in my house this week on the latest Patreon 5 for 5 and how that ultimately worked out. If you want to find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, you can go to our Patreon page and check that out. Go to robswebsite.com/patron. Have a good one, everybody. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.